Checking your WOR sports, it was a power surge from the Mets that beat the Yankees.
The Mets backed Jacob DeGrom with the long ball in the Bronx last night.
Breaking ball hit deep to left field. Back goes Gardner. This one's on the way. Home run, Todd Frazier.
Five home runs hit by the Mets as they take it 8-5 over the Yankees. DeGrom with 12 strikeouts and has now won back-to-back starts. They head to Baltimore tonight. Mets on deck at 6:05 here on 710 WOR. I'm Pete McCarthy.
More sports coming up with Len Berman at 6:15. It's 72 degrees right now. Your next update at 6:30 and breaking news at once. I'm Mike Bauer on 710 WOR and NBC News Radio Station.
Live from the heart of Tribeca, this is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
Morning, everyone, on a Tuesday, and Michael Riedel is off. Joe Bartlett's here, and now they're saying it's a terrorist incident outside Parliament in London, which obviously changes things a little bit.
Yeah, well, fortunately, no one got hurt.
Well, they're saying there were some injuries. There were some cyclists who were run over, some pedestrians, but they're saying nobody dead. None of the injuries are believed to be serious, but a guy drove a car at a high rate of speed outside Parliament into some barriers, and we'll have a live report from London coming up in a few minutes just to get the latest on this, because it's always scary when you hear, uh-oh, here we go again, and London's certainly been hit hard.
Yeah, and this is not far from where there was a terror attack that killed some people on a bridge.
On the bridge, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, reading the circumstances, the guy just ran into barricades. That's not much of an attack, if you ask
me.
Yeah,
well, they're treating it as a terrorist incident, and he has been arrested. So he must have said something to police to enable them to say, wait a second, this is not just a random car accident. But our big three stateside, the president goes after Governor Cuomo and Senator Gillibrand. And he ignores John McCain. We shall discuss all of that juiciness. Also in the big three, that FBI lover, Peter Strzok, fired.
See ya.
That's a little bit controversial, too. We'll discuss that.
Why?
We'll discuss. Rally out the big three. They're still trying to dry off in New Jersey. Is that controversial? As Little Falls remains under a state of emergency. What a mess there.
Speaking of controversial, I heard that they were investigating how those cars, you know, the cars that kind of washed down into the river?
Yeah.
Investigating how they were parked because they may have been illegally or improperly parked.
Whoa.
Can you imagine that?
No. Yes. Well, those cars were all belong to the dealership,
right?
Right,
yeah.
They weren't like, can you imagine if they were like in for repair and their customers?
Yeah.
Mets tickets coming up at 7:30. My personal seats will be up for grabs, and at 8:30, the turning point. I'll tell you what I usually do, and I've mentioned this before, is I can't make it up to the end of ball games. I mean, just the schedule prohibits that.
Me too.
You know, doing the early news, I don't know if you could stay up to the end of the game.
Nah, I get about halfway there.
So I went to sleep. It was 4-3. DeGrom's hanging on. And I always predict, you know, I know I'm going to wake up, look at my phone, and the final score is going to be 7-4 Yankees.
The bullpen would give it up.
And I look up, and Mets hit five home runs, so ye of little faith. Yeah. What's wrong with me, you know?
Well, they've started hitting for DeGrom lately, which
is something?
Good. Yeah.
And DeGrom now, you know, they're touting him as a Cy Young winner, but his record is now all the way up to 7-7.
Yeah.
So there's a chance before all is said and done that Jacob DeGrom may actually have a winning record. Should be interesting.
As good as his ERA is, I don't think he could get the Cy Young because, you know, he didn't really? Yeah, because you didn't lead your team to the playoffs. I think that...
I don't know if that's a prerequisite. We'll have to go over the list of all the previous Cy Young
winners. But
you still
have to have a lot of wins.
I would assume that, yes, most Cy Young winners, their teams have at least contended for postseason play. Yeah. But it's not like the MVP. You know, they'll say that in baseball and football. Well, a big deal if you're the MVP on a last-place team, so they'll name the most valuable player someone who actually leads their team to some kind of glory.
Right, yeah.
So that's an interesting argument.
I mean, I think you need a lot more wins. It's unfair to him because he is probably the best pitcher.
Well, that's the thing. If you're the best pitcher, you're the best pitcher. Yeah. So we got all this stuff going on. We've got Trump taking on Cuomo and Gillibrand, not mentioning the man who the bill was named after with the military spending.
He kind of referenced him.
He kind of referenced him, but not giving him any kind of credit. We'll have all of that. And Peter Strzok, you say fire the guy, that's it, done? Yeah. Anyone with political views gets fired at the FBI, Joe?
It's not a matter of having political views. Allowing your political views to impact how you conduct an investigation.
Well, there's no evidence that he in any way
had to.
Was
had
biased
to.
In his... What do you mean he had to? Just because he sent texts?
Yes.
Anti-person?
Yeah, absolutely. Had to impact how he felt.
All right.
He said, we are going to stop it.
We have all morning. We're going to stop it right now because we're going to go to London. But we have all morning to discuss, and we'll take your phone calls as well. But right now, let's head to London. Always scary when you hear it's a terrorist incident. Our man Tom Rivers on the scene. Tom, good morning in London, and what can you tell us?
Good morning, Len. Yeah, we've got a potential terrorist incident. That's how the counterterrorism police, who are now leading this investigation, they're calling it that. A potential one, and the individual, the driver in this incident, is in custody in a South London police station. Let's back up. 7:37 in the morning, height of the rush hour, and a car at high speed. That's what eyewitnesses say, a high speed impact on those beefed up security barriers outside of the Houses of Parliament, the main public gate. And a car comes to a stop there, smoke billowing from the hood of the car. Police very, very quickly were there and in great numbers within 5 minutes, about 200 of them there with guns. And this individual casually, according to eyewitnesses, got out of the car. They took him, put him in a vehicle, sent him to the station. They then checked out the car for explosives, nothing there. So they're keeping an open mind. We're expecting a briefing in about 20 minutes. We'll learn more about the possible motivations of this person.
You know, Tom, it's interesting. I mean, it seems like this individual just was ramming into the barricades and didn't make any serious attempt to run down pedestrians like you would think a terror suspect would do.
You're absolutely right, Joe. I mean, there two people are lightly injured. They went to the hospital, get checked out. But yeah, unlike, think about a year ago,
yeah.
Khalid Massoud got in his car and he targeted people on nearby Westminster Bridge, killing four there before crashing into the gates by Parliament and getting out and stabbing to death a policeman. So this looks, it's apples and oranges, but we'll find out. It could be the result of a road rage incident. It could be a person with issues. Again, we'll find out, I would guess, in the coming hours.
Tom, we have Tom Rivers, ABC News Bureau Chief out in London. Tom, is it possible that they got this guy under arrest? He must have said something to them, which all of a sudden led them to believe that this may be terrorism?
I think that, you know, when you look at this and given the track record, they always look at worst-case scenario. So they're saying, look, we're going to treat it as if it was terror until the facts may point in another direction. So I think that's prudent. And they're not going to be opening it up saying, you know, maybe this was just a guy who had some problems with his vehicle. No, they're starting on the other end of the spectrum saying, look, this looks pretty bad. Let's check it out, and you prove us otherwise. So that's the way they're approaching this thing these days.
So this is, I would assume, and you know, you're the one who lives there. Fill us in on what the controversy, or if it is, and what obviously terrorism and immigration, right, and what this all means in the big picture.
Big picture, again, I think people are holding their breath because if it is terrorism, it'll send again a shudder through the people of London, because it's been fairly quiet now for about a year here. You know, we had a spate of things in London and Manchester the previous year. If it turns out to be just another reason for this, it will be forgotten about pretty quick, because guess what? People have to show up on the subway system and go to work tomorrow morning. And that's the way it works here. This stuff is not dwelt on for a long period of time unless it is deemed to be pretty bad, and it is deemed to be terrorist-related.
Yeah, what sticks out in my mind, again, Tom, is the fact that he didn't try to harm, really, people, or just himself in a barricade.
Well, exactly. You know, you're running alongside parallel to what is now a long line of heavy metal filled with cement barriers. So it's not like, you know, using your vehicle as a projectile. It looks like you just kind of just rammed it into this barrier and came to a stop. So, you know, we can draw your conclusion up on that, if you will, but we'll find out more, as I say, coming up in about 15, 20 minutes.
All right, Tom Rivers, ABC News London. Thanks so much, Tom. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Thanks,
about
Tom.
The terrorist or perhaps a terrorist incident outside Parliament, a couple of minor injuries, but red flags up all over the place. All right.
Maybe this guy thought he was going to get through the barricades. You think?
I don't know. So here's Peter Strzok's attorney.
I don't think that you can rationally reach any conclusion other than it was political.
So they're claiming just a political hatchet job on their man, Peter Strzok. I mean, he had all those hearings in front of Congress. And obviously, if you're on the right, you're going to claim that he ran biased investigations. Well, he was fired from the Mueller probe. He was involved in the Hillary Clinton probe. And if you can prove that his political bias affected those investigations, well, that's your prerogative. I don't think any proof has come out that in any way those investigations were compromised, because it's my belief that everyone, if you work in the FBI or wherever you work, people have political views.
Yeah, but you don't express them, and not to the extent that he did with this girlfriend, this woman that he was having the affair with. We will stop it. You just can't do that. Everybody's got their own political views, that's for sure. But you tamp them down if you're trying to conduct a neutral investigation. You don't broadcast them or send them out and put them on display.
You think he should have been fired?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, because protocol there says
it's disciplinary
action, yes, should have been fired, and they're claiming that because the president strong-armed this whole thing, so he got fired. So the lawyer says it's political, and I think it is more political than not.
The other thing, too, it tainted the FBI. It put the FBI in a bad light.
Well, that's why he would have been suspended.
Well, he should have been fired.
Well, you think he should be fired?
Yeah, I think he should be fired, yeah.
Well, that's your prerogative, right, Joe. You're allowed to have an opinion. Just getting going on a very busy Wednesday. When we return, what those Connecticut cafeteria workers are up to, allegedly. Not nice, ladies. Not nice. But first, Bernie Vider has traffic.
UOR.
Live from the heart of Tribeca, this is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
And at 6:23, we have Joe Bartlett in for the vacationing Michael Riedel. I did see that the president tweeted late last night that he got a call from Mark Burnett. He was the producer of The Apprentice, and Burnett says there's no tape of him using the N-word. That's right. Been the speculation, that there are some outtakes, and the president supposedly, when he wasn't president, used the N-word. Mark Burnett says, no, never happened, and Trump said it's not in his vocabulary.
Another lie from Omarosa. Well, can you believe anything she said?
We'll discuss. Okay, so did you hear about these Connecticut lunch ladies? This is unbelievable. Yeah. All right, these two sisters. Now, New Canaan, I mean, that's a Tony town.
Yeah, it's
town
a fancy town, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, the Sachs Middle School. And these two sisters, Joanne Pascarelli and Marie Wilson, well, they're running the lunchroom, and they're pilfering the money from the cash registers. They're saying between 2012 and 2017, they filched nearly $500,000.
That's a lot of lunch money, isn't it?
Dollars.
Yeah.
They would underreport. You know, they'd say, yeah, okay, this cash register took in $20, it really took in $50, and they'd pocket the difference. Some of the registered showed zero cash.
Well, that
for the
wasn't
entire
smart.
School year.
I mean,
not
if you're going to siphon it off, at least leave something for the district.
Well, they're saying, yeah, a little something for them.
Yeah.
Here's a little something for you, district. You know, this went on for 5 years. They're saying it could go back as many as 15 years.
Wow.
Is that unbelievable?
That's a pretty profitable lunchroom they got running there.
So
$500,000.
This is unbelievable. So they actually hung up their, according to the Post, they hung up their aprons in 2017 when they found out that they were under investigation. But how does that happen? Couple of things. How do you get away with it for so long? How do you think you're going to get away with it forever? I wonder what these two sisters did with the money.
I don't know. That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of bread.
But so, you know what it is? It's one of these. It's government, public agency. There's very little accountability. Okay, right. Fine. Yeah, well, we're not making any money. That's okay.
Well, apparently the cafeteria fund is separate from the school's operating budget. So this didn't cost programs for the school district.
But somebody ought to have done some reconciliation, don't you think? Every couple of months, let's see how we're doing.
It came to light with some unconnected accounting question. I don't know. Well, they were got. And There are people out there who probably think they're going to get away with this crap forever.
Well, they did for quite a while.
It could go back 15 years.
Here's a guy who didn't get away with something. This is a teacher in Long Island, high school physics teacher arrested on child pornography charges.
Wow.
This is really scary. Hundreds of images were found on his Google account, his cell phone, and his laptop.
Yeah.
And when you, the suspect, 43-year-old Joseph Zanko,
right,
the teacher at the Massapequa High School, mm-hmm, married with a 6-year-old child. Mm. And what the heck is he thinking?
Wow.
According to authorities, in April, he uploaded over 400 computer files with images of child pornography to his Google account. And obviously, Google said, hey, something's going on here. So they flagged the files and suspended his account. Then they notified the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. They began an investigation, raided the guy's home, and he's under arrest.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Physics teacher.
Physics teacher. Faces up to 20 years in jail. Mm. This is a married guy with a 6-year-old child looking at child porn.
Mm.
He needs help.
Well, elsewhere on the local front, we have a Westchester chiropractor who said he was flying from New York, flying back to New York from Palm Beach with his girlfriend and two daughters. He says a TSA screener at the Palm Beach International Airport began fondling him. It was a guy. This guy is named Mark Fry. He's 61, a Westchester chiropractor. Apparently,
he began following the guy?
Fondling him.
Hey. Well, I've been through this Palm Beach airport a couple of times.
You've been fondled?
Not fondled. That's a pretty fancy airport.
It is a nice airport.
Yeah,
yeah, I've been through there a lot. Apparently, the passenger has metal prosthetics in his neck. So obviously, he's going to set off the metal detector.
Right,
So he requested a private search.
All right, yeah.
The worker didn't give him a private search. The worker, according to the New York Post, put his hands under Fry's shorts and was roughly touching his genitals for so long that his 8-year-old daughter exclaimed, "Look, they're touching daddy's penis."
That is a home run.
Woo! 8-year-old.
Oh gosh.
So this is a Manhattan federal lawsuit. And apparently another traveler also filed a complaint on behalf of him. And he says in the lawsuit, "They took away my child's innocence."
Oh, please.
There you go. But he wants it to be a learning moment for everyone. That's crazy.
Well, you got to search these people thoroughly sometimes. Well,
yeah, but fondle. What were they looking for?
Hey,
is anything down there? There?
That's not my neck. That is not my neck.
Oh, man. All right, with Joe Bartlett sitting in for Michael Riedel, we have Mike Bauer sitting in for Joe Bartlett. So here we go with the latest headlines. Good morning to you, Mike. What baseball? It caught my attention with that tease.
Yeah.
I hope you can deliver before this newscast is over.
You know what? I'm going to shoot for that. Otherwise, you can search and pat me down a little bit later on, Glenn,
No, no interest in that. But you said it was a wild scene in a baseball game.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll get to hear about that.
I'll get to that. Trust me, we will get there. In the meantime, let's say this. Water continues to fill the streets of Little Falls, New Jersey, where more than 100 homes have been damaged. More than 30 are completely uninhabitable because of flooding caused by torrential rain, leaving this woman scrambling to save family photos.
Very precious. I mean, they have no price. At least for me, memories are everything.
Brick is also dealing with a flooding issue after getting 8 inches of rain yesterday. Now, President Trump is begging Governor Cuomo to run against him in 2020. Trump was in Fort Drum, where he disparaged the governor's record and criticized the state's high taxes.
Now, he called me and he said, "I'll never run for president against you, but maybe he wants to." Oh, please do it. Please. Please. He did say that. He did that. Maybe he means it.
He said any list of people that he wants to run. He wants Elizabeth Warren. Please, please run against me. You know?
There's a lot of pleases. There's been a lot of pleases out there.
Well, look at the group of people that he named. He could trounce any of them.
Yes, he could.
Don't you think?
Absolutely.
First of all, I don't think Cuomo could get the nomination.
I don't think so either.
Agreed. Yeah. Trump also blasted Senator Kirsten Gillibrand as someone who hasn't gotten anything done.
Well, has she? Come on, Joe. You're the journalist. Has she done anything in this state?
Not really. She's been on board a couple of women's issues.
Women's rights, right?
Women's rights issues. Yeah, that's about it. But nothing really
significant.
No. No, she just, whatever Chuck Schumer wants. Okay, Chuck.
Okay. All right, guys. All right, here we go, Len. If you saw any highlights, and we know it's hot out there right now, but a bizarre scene at the Marlins-Braves game in Atlanta. Marlins first base coach Perry Hill was caught putting some wet lettuce under his helmet before heading out onto the field. Not onto a sandwich, not into a roll, not onto his hot dog, onto his helmet, and then put that helmet onto his head. He later explained that he's done it for a while now as a way to keep cool and says cabbage actually works better than lettuce.
That's true.
You know, have you done this before?
You're not shocking me, but in the old days of baseball, I think that was fairly commonplace.
Lettuce?
There were stories of cabbage and lettuce. Yeah, they would take this wet stuff when it was really hot, but you know they didn't have air conditioning in the dugouts back in the day of early baseball. But I've heard of that before. So you didn't shock me there.
You weren't shocked? I was shocked by that. I've never seen anybody put lettuce in my lifetime. I've never seen anybody put lettuce into a helmet or a hat to put on their head. I've certainly never tried it before.
You would think in these times they would go for kale.
Or
quinoa salad. Or something.
Is that quinoa in his helmet? They say Babe Ruth used to do that, Len.
Yeah, I think they did. I've heard of that before. But you know, I go back a little further to you, Bauer. So that's it.
All right, I'm going to go put some lettuce in my helmet, and I'll see you guys a little bit later on here this morning.
We'll fondle your helmet. When Hey, when we get back, it is Home Run Derby for the Mets and the Bronx. You want to hear every single home run they hit? We've got it for you. And Tiger supplies the power as well, but right now Bernie Vider has a look at traffic for it.
710 WOR.
6:39. Hope you're doing well on the 14th of August of 2018. Joe Bartley. And before we get into the sports and the Mets, did you see what happened on the subway? A train in Brooklyn was going express, and so some of the passengers missed their stop. So when the train does stop, these three animals are punching the conductor through his window, trying to assault him because the train went, you know,
past their stops
and missed their stops. Come on, are you kidding me?
People strike out more often now than, you know, used to be. You get upset, maybe you yell at the guy.
It's unbelievable.
But now you're striking out, hitting people.
This is 3 a.m. Fortunately,
it's a pretty vicious fight, too, wasn't it?
Fortunately, the conductor, they're saying that he had some scratches and a black eye. Well, nothing is acceptable. But the video is just unbelievable. Yeah. These three. So hopefully they'll catch these creeps. We'll talk more about this later. It's just unbelievable what's going on in some places. Now, the subways, that's ridiculous. Yeah.
I mean, just the quick turn to violence is scary.
All right, the Mets, how about they? So they played the Yankees yesterday in the Bronx. It was the makeup of one of the rained-out Subway Series games. So they had this one game that came out of nowhere, kind of caught some people by surprise, and it was a great pitching matchup. And it was Jacob DeGrom, the Mets ace, up against Luis Severino, who was arguably the Yankee ace, although he's been struggling lately. And who would have thought it would become Home Run Derby and the Mets would win it 8-5? I certainly didn't.
No.
So what happened is the Mets lead off the game, and hit first batter.
3-1 pitch, and a breaking ball hit in the air to right, pretty deep. Walker going back at the track, at the wall, gone, a home run! He hit it right into the roll call, out in right center field. Maybe not quite as far as the bleachers, but a little bit before that, into the permanent seats in the lower right field stands.
So that's Ahmed Rosario leads off the game, and boom! And the Mets took a 2-0 lead. Then the Yankees caught him and tied it 2-2. One of the runs was earned against the Grom of that 2-2. And then all of a sudden, it was Jose Bautista with a big blow.
Runner going, 3-2 pitch. Driven in the air, right field pretty deep. To the track, at the wall, gone! Into the second row. Jose Bautista lifting the Mets to a 4-2 lead here in the top of the fourth inning.
Now, it got to 4-3, and that's when it was Betty Bye for the talk show host. So I'm figuring 4-3, they're coming back. They got a couple of runs off the Grom, which is a lot.
Yeah.
A couple of them earned. And I'm saying, I'm going to wake up and the final score is going to be 7-4 Yankees. But
that usually happens.
But ye of little faith.
The 0-2 pitch. Breaking ball hit deep to left field. Back goes Gardner. This one's on the way. Home run, Todd Frazier. Into the lower left field stands for Frazier, his 11th home run of the year. And the Mets have a two-run lead right back. It's the Mets 5 and the Yankees 3.
That was in the sixth inning. If you heard the crowd, there were some Mets fans.
Oh, absolutely,
there's always a lot of Yankee fans at Citi Field, but there were a lot of Mets fans there. Now, but they weren't done. That was their third home run. Then the seventh inning, our buddy Brandon Nimmo steps to the plate.
1-1, strafed in the air by Conforto, deep to left, jumping.
Well, that was Conforto, but okay.
1-1, strafed in
the air. That was out of order. So Nimmo 1-1. Was up there.
Tag deep in the air, right field, jumping back to the track. Walker looking, turning. It is gone! Brandon Nimmo to the third row. And the Mets are up on top, 6-3.
All right, and the next batter was Michael Conforto.
1-1, strafed in the air by Conforto, deep to left, jumping to the track, at the wall. This ball is gone! Michael Conforto follows up. The two lefties go yard here, and the Mets now coasting. It is 7-3.
How about that?
If you had to say before the game who would get the most home runs, it would not have been the Mets.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Well, they had gone up until the game Sunday. They had gone, like, I think four games without a homer, which doesn't sound like a lot. It was the longest streak in several years without a home run. And then they hit five home runs, and, of course, they had DeGrom on the mound.
Leg kick in the 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. There's a dozen. A dozen strikeouts for Jacob DeGrom here at Yankee Stadium.
He's just having a phenomenal year.
I was reading about the decision on by Mickey Callaway to take him out.
Yeah.
So he went to the mound. I think he had pitched like 111 pitches at that point.
Right.
And he didn't call for the change right away. He talked to DeGrom, and DeGrom said, "I want to get this guy." He was facing Brett Gardner.
Yeah.
And he said, "I want this guy." And he said, "Well, look, you know, this, he could foul it off. It could be 10 pitches. You're going to be over 120. He said, "Sorry, Jake, you're not going to get him."
Wow.
He took him out.
Wow.
He wanted to go. He wanted to go.
Yeah, well, good for, you know, pitchers always want to pitch.
Yeah.
So that's fine. The manager has to make that decision.
That was one of the better games I've seen him throw. You know, they did a good job of getting his pitch count up early. And then he battled back and did everything he could to pitch as deep in the game as possible. And against a lineup like that, your ace has to pitch as deep as he possibly can. Those extra two outs that he got were huge for us.
Yeah,
that's the one he wanted to get right. Gardner, but
also he's a designated hitter, so you're going against the lineup.
No,
you're
right.
Not pitching against a normal National League club. You're pitching against nine hitters, and then Howie got to do this.
3-2 to Gardner. Gesellman ready. The payoff pitch. Swinging a high fly ball to left center field. That should do it. Austin Jackson settles under it. He makes the two-hand catch. Put it in the books.
Well, there you go. So the Mets won it 8-5. It's on to Baltimore for a short series. They're playing tonight. Coverage here on WOR begins at 6:05. And David Wright actually had another rehab, two games in a row. Well, everything's rehab. But again, in St. Lucie, played for the second game in a row, Joe.
Two games in a row. I think he played like five innings. He was up twice.
Yeah.
A walk. And a strikeout. And I got to tell you, I mean, he struck out a lot in AAA.
Well, he's just starting out. You know, give him some time.
When he was, before he went down, he was striking out a lot, not catching. The guy, I mean, look at, he's 35 years old. He's had three surgeries since he went down. And plus, what was he got? Spinal stenosis that he's dealing with?
Yep.
So, look. Good luck. I'd love to see him back. I don't know. I'm not
all
too
right.
Positive about it.
Hey, Mr. Giants fan, did you hold your breath over Saquon Barkley in practice?
Oh, my gosh. Well, they say it's a mild hamstring strain.
Okay, mild hamstring strain. Well, stay out of the lineup for like 2 weeks as far as I'm concerned because none of this stuff matters.
No, I know. And they may not even play Odell Beckham Jr. on Friday.
Right. Don't play him. They were a joke. I'm sorry if you pay money to see these teams. Well, they're on the road in Detroit, but... You know, Barkley made a great catch.
Well, he kind of stretched out for it, I guess. But so, they said he was fine. He was walking on his own. Serious issue.
Well, there you go. And so how do you think the ratings were for the PGA Championship on Sunday? How do you think they compared with last year?
I'm sure much better because Tiger was up near
you
the
betcha.
Lead top.
Tiger was battling the eventual champ, Brooks Koepka. And the ratings are up 69%.
Wow.
Get this. The highest rating for the final round of the PGA Championship in 9 years. Is that amazing, the effect that Tiger Woods has?
Tiger, yeah.
And everyone was complaining. No, I'm not saying everyone. A lot of people complaining that, you know, no matter what Tiger's doing, the coverage is on him. Now,
that's right.
This round, he actually was in contention. But there were earlier rounds when the cameras were focused on him when he was, you know, he was 10 shots back, 11 shots, you know, whatever. Hey, it pays off in eyeballs.
It's about ratings, sadly.
It's all about the ratings, and he's the guy. And best ratings since 2009 because Tiger Woods was in contention. How about that?
Welcome back, Tiger.
When we come back, Loverboy gets fired. And the president goes after the governor and the New York senator. We got all the sound coming your way. Hey, after 9/11, did you live in Lower Manhattan? Did you work there? Go to school there? Did you help with rescue, recovery, cleanup, or construction near Ground Zero? Were you in Lower Manhattan below Canal Street between September 11th, 2001 and the summer of 2002? Secondly, have you been diagnosed with cancer? So if you answered yes to the two questions, you may be eligible for compensation. You should call attorney Noah Kushlevsky. He's the New York lawyer who's established himself as the go-to guy with the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund. He's recovered over $1 billion for clients who were affected by the World Trade Center attacks. He's here to help. Just look him up, folks. How many cases? Over $1 million. Well, Noah's resolved over 400 of them. $400 million cases. So if you were a student or live near Ground Zero or work near there below Canal Street after 9/11 and now you have cancer, call them. Call 888-974-3125 or go online to groundzerocancer.com. That's groundzerocancer.com or call 888-974-3125. Traffic. Here's Bernie Viter. Wait a second. There's a monthly fee for Easy Pass? What are you talking about?
Yes, there's a monthly fee.
I don't know I had a monthly fee.
You have New York Easy Pass, right?
I have New York Easy Pass. I don't have a monthly fee.
Yes, you do. Do you ever look at what they charge you?
No.
Of course not. No one does.
A monthly fee?
Yes.
Of what?
Dollar.
I don't think so.
You have to rent the device. Yes, they charge you for the device. You rent that device.
I'm going to look at my bill next time. I never see that.
I guarantee
you. Is it on the bill?
It is on the bill.
$1 a month?
Yeah.
I never knew that. I've had Easy Pass for 1,000 years. $1 a month?
Yeah.
That dopey thing?
Well, it was added recently. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that.
The other thing, too, is you don't know sometimes if you, you know, I don't check it as often as I should.
Yeah.
But you get extra.
Oh, I've checked it, and I've actually challenged some things. You know, they had me going over the same bridge at the exact same time twice.
Right, yeah.
That's happened.
But most people, it just goes to their credit card. Right. And it's okay.
There's an account. They send you once a month. They send you an accounting, but I never saw the dollar fee a month. I got to check on that. Oh, okay. I'll check on that. I can go to that. Hey, so this Peter Schrock, lover boy, FBI. So normally, the Federal Bureau of Investigation's Office of Professional Responsibility called for him to face a 60-day suspension and demotion from being a supervisor. Instead, he got fired. And his attorney says,
I don't think that you can rationally reach any conclusion other than it was political.
All right, this is Aiton Goldman. He says it's all politics, schmolitics.
The demotion and the suspension was the right call and not dismissal. And then that was overturned by the deputy director.
But Joe Bartlett disagrees and says the guy should have been fired.
Let me give you a rational explanation here.
Oh, really? There's rational in the one you can?
Absolutely. I mean, I know everybody wants to spin this and, oh, Donald Trump did this, but I really don't have any sympathy for the guy because he was openly defiant about the election of President Trump and communicated to a colleague, we will stop it. And then he was part of the investigation of the president, definitely was tainted. His political views had to impact some of his decision making.
You think it did? Is there any proof of that?
No, but he impugned the reputation of the FBI.
So he should be fired.
Serious? Because this was an investigation of a bank robber that, oh, well, you know, maybe he shouldn't have said that, or that's not proper protocol. This was an investigation of the President of the United States by the FBI. You don't want any sort of questions raised when you're investigating the President of the United States.
But those comments about stopping Trump were before there was the Mueller probe.
Doesn't make any difference.
Doesn't matter.
I mean, obviously, he had a disdain for the president.
But don't you think everyone in the FBI has an opinion or a political opinion?
Sure they do. Sure they do. Do they express it?
I don't know.
No. Do they express it?
I don't know if he should have been fired. I just don't know. I understand why the right thinks so, but I'm not. I don't know if there's definitive proof that that affected his job. I mean, he stood there in front of Congress and went on and on and on and on and on.
I didn't believe him.
Not believable. No. All right. Now, how about so the president shows up at Fort Drum. You ever been to lovely Fort Drum?
No, too far north for me.
Oh, my God. I served a couple of weeks there. What a wasteland. When I was in the reserves, I had a summer camp in Fort Drum. Ouch. Anyway, it's 100 degrees and mosquitoes. Of course, in the winter, that's the snow belt, Watertown.
Oh, right, yeah.
Anyway, so he's there to sign the military appropriations bill, hell of a bill, $717 billion, named after John McCain. Yep. But somehow, The president didn't mention McCain's name, but he did allude to him.
Obamacare, we got rid of the individual mandate, which is the most unpopular aspect. I would have gotten rid of everything, but as you know, one of our wonderful senators said thumbs down at 2 o'clock in the morning.
And that was John McCain, and that's who the bill is named after. You can't even mention his name because you got thin skin, right? You can agree on that one, right, Bartley?
He probably should have mentioned John McCain. The poor guy's dying.
He's not going to be with us much longer.
I know.
Throw the guy a bone.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
But anyway, he went after our fine senator, Kirsten Gillibrand.
You know, I know your opponent very well. She's been up to my office looking for campaign contributions over here. And she's very aggressive on contributions, but she's not very aggressive on getting things done. And because she hasn't gotten very much done, if anything, has she gotten anything done?
Who's she got done? In front of the military, or was this a different? You know what? He also had another event. I don't think that was in front of the military.
No.
That was in front of the other. That was in front of the other event. It was a fundraising event going on.
She's just a puppet of Schumer. You know that he put her there.
Right?
I've never seen anybody like this. Your opponent, okay? Your wonderful opponent. Was the most pro-gun person that you've ever seen. The day she got that given position, she all of a sudden became like anti, like 100%.
He's absolutely right.
Yeah, but wait a second. Trump's flip-flopped on abortion. Come on, stop.
No, this is gun control. She was.
I know, but Trump's changed his mind, too, when he's gone from Democrat to Republican.
By the way, it was Governor Patterson who appointed her, not Schumer.
Oh, so you got something wrong there, huh?
Well, I mean, you know, Schumer may have had some influence there.
And he went after Cuomo.
Cuomo wants to take away your Second Amendment. Now, he called me and he said, I'll never run for president against you. But maybe he wants to. Oh, please do it. Please. Please. God. He did say that. He did that. Maybe he means it. The one thing we know, and they do say, anybody that runs against Trump suffers. That's the way it should be. That's the way it should be.
Huh? That's been true. Hey, coming up, we've got Alex Castellanos, the ABC News political analyst. Oh, boy, do we have a lot of stuff to discuss. That's coming up after the news at the top of the hour. Right now, it is 7 o'clock.
This is Glenn Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on 710 WOR.
7:05. Good morning, everyone, as you head out for your Tuesday. I guess... you know, there's a chance of the thunderstorms, but, you know, I guess the forecast has improved a little bit from, you know, yesterday. They were talking about the flood warnings right through today. And I guess there are still flood warnings, particularly in parts of New Jersey. Boy, little falls got really hit. So that's that weather situation. We're also following the terror scare in London, where a guy, it's believed to be terrorism, took his car and rammed the barricades outside of Parliament. And there were a couple of minor injuries. There were some people on bicycles. And let me say good morning to you, Joe Bartlett. Michael Riedel is off today, and you are here.
I am here. Happy to be here, and happy to be talking about Omarosa.
Really?
Well, you know, her book is out today.
I know.
So we're getting a little more of her lies.
But apparently it's not doing so great. I mean, you would think with all the publicity and all the Meet the Press and Savannah Guthrie and I guess on CBS this morning, but apparently on Amazon it's not at the top of the charts the way most books with all that exposure start out.
I don't think she has much to say. So, you know, I'm reading some of the excerpts here about... The president likes Diet Coke.
Well, I saw that, and she thinks it affects his
mental capacity.
Mental capacity, yeah. Right?
8 cans a day.
Right.
Well, that's a lot.
That's a lot of that. Well, you have, how many cups of coffee do you have a day?
Maybe 5.
5, all right.
Well, I mean, yeah, maybe 5.
Maybe 5, all right.
So, and then the other thing
does it affect your mental capacity?
No, I think you do.
I probably do.
And his tanning bed, that he has a tanning bed that he uses every day.
Oh, is that what she's writing?
Yeah.
What's the big deal with that?
It's not a big deal. A lot of people do it.
Does that explain his the way his face looks sometimes?
That,
the
orangeness,
the orange glow.
Yeah, right.
And Bernie Vider and her traffic is reporting this problem on the Grand Central. If you're heading eastbound and wonder why all lanes are subject to closure out near Utopia Parkway and 188th Street, apparently there was a motorcycle accident.
Oh,
and,
no.
So be careful out there. And I worry about those motorcycles. You know, when I come in... Between 3 and 4 in the morning, invariably. And I know Blaine, who's filling in for Natalie, you drive your motorcycle. Do you drive it on the turnpike?
Absolutely, yeah.
You do?
Sure.
I worry.
Oh,
man. I'm telling you, sometimes, that you know, we're doing 60, 65, and sometimes...
Can't see you.
Those bullets are flying by on a motorcycle. And I'm just... They're one pothole away from being wrapped around a tree.
It's usually young guys. I'm in my mid-50s, so I just, you know, 75, 80 miles an hour. I just like the cruising.
Sadie, 75, 80?
Yeah, but those bikes, depending on what kind you have, those can do 150 miles an hour. Jeez. I mean, you can just really scream. And they're doing wheelies and all that crazy. I'm not into any of that stuff.
Well, thank God. Oh, man. That's why you're still here.
Right.
But sometimes they go by like...
I know. They zip in and out of traffic. I know.
Yeah. Well, our big three stories today, the president going after Governor Cuomo, going after Senator Gillibrand, and he ignored John McCain, even though the bill for military spending was named after him. Also in the big three, the FBI lover, Peter Strzok, fired. He didn't get a 60-day suspension. He was kicked out. And rounding out the big three... They are still trying to dry off in New Jersey. Little Falls remains under a state of emergency. Boy, that situation was terrible. And what were you telling me about the car dealership when we had that scene of all those SUVs and cars rocking and rolling on the water and then winding up in the river?
I heard that there was one official who was investigating how the cars were parked in that lot and if they were parked properly.
Well, how do you? Is there a proper way to park in a parking lot of a car dealership?
There must be some regulations as to where you can put the cars, how they're supposed to be parked,
right.
How many can be parked. You know, there's all sorts of local regs. And, you know, maybe that might have contributed to a situation that allowed all the cars to be flooded out.
Coming up in 20 minutes, you have my personal Mets tickets for a game later this month against the Giants, San Francisco. Chance for that. 8:30, we have the Turning Point. If you're just getting up and didn't catch the end of the game, the Yankees and Mets went at it. The resumption or the makeup of a rained-out game from last month. And Mets hit 5 home runs. You heard that right. There's... Nothing wrong with your radio.
How do you explain
the bite?
How do you
5 home runs?
How do you explain that performance? I mean, they went up against the best pitcher the Yankees have. The Yankees got a powerful lineup.
Yep.
And the Mets outslug them and outpitch them.
The Mets had gone 4 games without a home run before Sunday, before Reyes hit a homer, and all of a sudden they had 5 home runs and won it 8-5, and they're back in action tonight against Baltimore. Coverage here on WOR. They're in Baltimore at Camden Yards. Coverage at 6:05. Like to welcome in, as we do every week, ABC News political analyst Alex Castellanos. You know, there's nothing. I mean, you got a great job these days, Alex. I mean, every 2 minutes the story changes, and now I don't know. Is Omarosa at the top of your list?
Omarosa, you pick. We've got Rudy saying that. Trump and Comey did and didn't talk about firing Flynn. You've got FBI agents being fired for playing politics. So just another normal day in Washington.
Well, let's talk about Peter Strzok, because he's fired. The department code said he should have gotten a 60-day suspension. There are those who are saying that this was all about the president and his tweets, and the president's the guy who got him fired. What's your take on all this?
Well, Strzok's an interesting guy. He is the guy who took Comey's statement, the statement that said originally Hillary Clinton was grossly negligent handling her emails, and he changed that. He changed that to kind of careless. And that got Hillary off the hook legally, because grossly negligent is a legal issue. It's a crime. So for a guy who claims he did not let bias affect his work, gee, it seems bias affected his work.
Did he have that much power to change the wording?
He did. He did. Look it up. CNN, source of all that's true in news. <I'm>
So, sure. Len, you wanted to know whether or not there was any sort of evidence that his political bias affected his decision-making process. There you go. Fire him?
That's a big one. And but, you know, the real thing that's going on now is that Washington has lost all credibility. We see all these scandals, from Omarosa to Mueller to the FBI being politicized. And Washington and Congress have lost all credibility. Trump's approval rating is 39%, which we say is low, though it's the average for every president since Truman, 569 days into the administration. Congress's approval rating 17%.
Ouch.
Congress is less popular than lice and root canals. They are more popular than the Ebola virus and the Kardashians, but that's not much.
Hey, but wait a second. Rasmussen has Trump at 50%. What poll are you reading?
That's the latest Gallup that's out today. Gallup. Trump's average of all the polls in Real Clear is about 43, so his approval rating is, job approval is not unusual. The problem is Washington and Congress, and that's what the American people look at and say, that's destroying the country. It's, our government's old, it doesn't work, it's a big old industrial age creation, a big manual typewriter in a smartphone world, and they can't keep up. And any time we send them money, they say, okay, that failed last time, we'll just build a bigger manual typewriter. And they're so disgusted with it when they see Washington's, okay, the Affordable Care Act. Well, health care is not more affordable. You can keep your doctor. And Republicans saying we'll spend more and reduce the deficit. This is what's disgusting people, and so you see Democrats, Bernie Sanders on one side, a revolutionary Trump on the other side. American people want somebody to bring Washington down.
Alex, I mean, is some of this the result of just the hyper media coverage that we have every single day? You know, Washington always was sort of dysfunctional. I think we've just, we sort of micromanage it now with the various networks. And,
you know,
and Twitter, and you just name it. I mean, there's just so much talk and coverage of these little tiny things that really, you know, in the long run are not going to be significant.
Well, I'd love to blame the media. I'm a Republican. That's our job. But I have to defend them here. This is a product problem, not a marketing or perception problem. Imagine the Miss America pageant without a talent competition. You start judging people on how things look and not how they, what they can achieve or do. That's Washington. So when nothing that Washington does works, it's all about power and not performance. We have a very old, out-of-date government in Washington that can't keep up with the modern world. And until that changes, our politics is all going to be about celebrity and Amorosa and Rudy. Everybody will be known by their first names. It'll be Madonna for president.
And before we run, we're on with Alex Castellanos every week at this time, the ABC News commentator. And what I wonder, a political analyst, and what I wonder, Alex, as we go forward, will things ever get better, or have we reached the point? I mean, it's so boiling on both sides now. Is it always going to be like that now, from here on, forevermore?
I'm an optimist. Big, dumb, slow things have collapsed all over the world, from the old Soviet Union to American businesses that have transformed themselves. Government is one of the last old industrial age relics we have left, and at some point we're going to see a new generation of leader, the Facebook generation. Some Silicon Valley Democrat or Republican come up and say, you know what, government isn't just Washington, it's all of us. And we're going to, you know, if we did it today, would we have congressional districts or would we organize on Facebook? Is that what our government would look like? Somebody's going to reinvent this and bring our government into the future and make it more bottom-up, open, natural, and organic as opposed to old top-down political and artificial. I think there's enough heat in this that we're close to that point today.
Alex, I'll just use one name. You're a one-name wonder, too. Alex, thanks for joining us. As always, talk to you next week.
Good to be with you.
All right, Alex Castellanos, ABC News.
That's
political
a positive
commentary.
Thought that he had.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, that's good,
because I'm so depressed by this. That I just want this to change. I mean, it's just, it can't go on like this forever. Coming up, we've got your Mets tickets. And when will New Jersey ever dry out? What a mess. Also a mess on the Grand Central. Let's check in with Bernie Viter. It's 7:23 in the morning. Sun is out here, but I guess in some spots, maybe in parts of New Jersey, some more rain, and that's a problem, because how much more can they take? Good morning to you, Joe Bartlett, as Michael Riedel is off. And you live in New Jersey. Have any problems where you live?
No. We've, you know, got our fair share of rain. The lawns are soaked, but no flooding where I am.
We have my personal Mets seats coming up in about 6 minutes. You'll get to see the Mets and Giants on August the 21st. So we'll have Mets tickets at 7:30, and then a turning point at 8:30 as they beat the Yankees 8-5 with five home runs.
Say that again, Len. The Mets beat the Yankees?
They did, 8-5, and they hit five home runs in the Bronx. I just, you just never know. Just never know in baseball. All right, here's the governor of New Jersey, Phil Murphy, on all the problems in Little Falls and the flooding and the cars floating away down the river. And
we're going to work together and try to find every available resource we can, local, county, state, federal. We won't leave any stone unturned.
Well, now, are there any remedies? Are there issues why this area is so vulnerable? Is there some kind of construction issue that they could be looking into?
I don't know. I really don't know whether or not this area is flood prone.
Yeah.
But obviously, I mean, it must have happened before.
Well, those pictures in Little Falls were unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
Those cars and SUVs bumping into each other like bumper cars, floating off the dealership lot, floating into the river. Crazy stuff. More from the governor.
I'm glad that he came showed concern.
Yeah, about the governor. So they're glad. Well, there you go. Let's listen to her again. Very nice.
I'm glad that he came and showed concern.
Well, I would think that's his job.
Exactly.
To show up there. We do have the video up on our website. You got to see this video from the car dealership and the cars going into the river. Go to 710WOR.com/Lennon Michael.
Very precious. I mean, they have no price. At least for me, memories are everything.
She's talking about having lost her photos. I guess many houses have been ruined, obviously, by the floodwaters.
They were showing some of those homes. You got a foot of water inside the house. Just imagine if that happens.
I can't. I mean, that's just...
It's going to destroy everything.
Yeah, and it takes a long, long time to mitigate. It certainly does. Now, we have a couple of mayors on hand. This is the Little Falls mayor, James Damiano.
Our police department has on occasion been required to go down there and order the immediate removal of the vehicles in that area. Unfortunately, this time, there was not adequate time to do that.
I guess he's talking about the
car dealership.
Is he
talking about the car dealership?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that maybe,
that's interesting.
Maybe parked along the river. I don't know.
So maybe they've had issues before or thoughts have come up. So
yeah.
Let me listen to this again. This is the Little Falls Mayor, James Damiano.
Our police department has on occasion been required to go down there and order the immediate removal of the vehicles in that area. Unfortunately, this time, there was not adequate time to do that.
Talk about a flash flood is what happened. Hey, if you were affected in that area, and you have some firsthand information, please, at any time, give us a call, 800-321-0710. We'd love to hear from you. Now, this is the Woodland Park Mayor, Neil Levy.
We are anxious to try to get answers from the state about what federal or state aid we will be eligible to receive to help our residents and our business owners get back on their feet.
Yeah. So obviously businesses too, and homeowners.
I don't know that the state's going to bail anybody out. And by the way, this is not a flood area, so these people would not be required to have flood insurance. So and you're on your own. If you looked at your homeowner's policy, I don't think this is covered.
Yeah, I have some kind of flood near, some kind of near the water, so I have to have some.
But that's mandated. If you're in a flood zone, you have to have the flood insurance. If you're not, you don't have to have it.
Right.
And then if you don't have it, this would not be covered.
Well, this is just a crazy situation. I guess I'm wondering about any kind of construction or something. If this area is prone and has problems before, I'd like to hear. We've put out calls to the mayors, both of Little Falls and Woodland Park, and we hope to hear back from them later this morning. But Terry in the newsroom had an interesting story. We just had a soundbite from the Woodland Park mayor, Neil Levy. Apparently, he took over for a previous mayor who was ousted in a scandal, and it came to a city council vote,
right.
And it was 3-3, and they pulled a name out of a hat. So that's how...
You're the mayor.
Neil, you won. I guess that's not a full-time job, being mayor
Park
at Little Falls, right?
No, but that's usually what happens. I think if there is no mayor and there's a vacancy, the town council would decide.
That's what happens.
So they must be deadlocked, 3 Republicans and 3 Democrats.
If it was by party.
Yeah.
All right, here you go.
Up comes the apple.
Now's your chance to win my personal tickets to see the Mets take on the Giants August 21st. Be caller number 19 at 800-321-0710, and you'll be the winner. To purchase tickets, visit Mets.com/tickets. Time for the latest news headlines. And with that, we go to Mike Bauer. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, guys. A suspect is in custody after a terror attack in London. The man slammed his car into gates near Parliament.
It's happening a bit too often. It's getting very, very scary. I'm a local resident.
The video shows the moments after the crash with police surrounding the heavily armed suspect. Minor injuries have been reported. A lawyer for fired FBI agent Peter Strzok says the dismissal was political. Strzok was the agent who sent anti-Trump text messages to an FBI lawyer who he was having an affair with. It was recommended that Strzok be demoted and face a 60-day suspension. An attorney, Aiton Goldman, says that should have been enough.
The demotion and the suspension was the right call and not dismissal. And then that was overturned by the deputy director.
Trump now says the Russia investigation should be dropped, calling it a total hoax. And guys,
well, of course, he's never said that before.
That's the first time I've heard that.
That's a scoop.
Now, we're trying to get this posted to your blog, Len, but this has got to be about the creepiest marriage I think I've ever seen before. A Massachusetts teenager.
Creepy marriage.
Yeah, listen.
And you bring this up because you know today's my anniversary. Is that why you bring it up?
I figured what better way to uniquely celebrate.
Yeah, very good. Thank you.
This Massachusetts teenager decided to not marry Len Berman, but instead is getting married next month to a creepy zombie doll. Now, this is absolutely the truth. The picture of the zombie doll is posted on the internet. 19-year-old Felicity Cadillac says she's been having an intimate relationship with this doll.
Really?
Whose name is Kelly. The doll's name is Kelly.
I don't want to know about these.
This is a male doll?
This is a female doll. It's a female-female relationship here. Yeah.
A zombie female.
Yeah, zombie. Yeah, zombie female
relationship. What it is.
So Kelly is the doll. Kelly's the zombie doll. And Felicity has Kelly's name tattooed on her arm, which is interesting. Yeah. The doll has a mangled face, basically missing the bottom jaw, looking like something out of Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Is covered in fake blood, but that can't stop true love, Len, as you know. Felicity has Kelly's name tattooed on the arm, says, I'm intimate with Kelly, I caress her, and feel safe with her.
Really? And who's going to perform the ceremony?
I have no idea if there's a zombie doll priest of any kind.
Hey.
I feel a genuine connection when I'm having an intimate moment with her. Felicity says she's had boyfriends in the past, but, quote, they've never made me feel the way I do now. End of quote.
Where's that? This New Jersey?
This is out of Massachusetts.
Oh, Massachusetts. What, Massachusetts. Does it say which town?
It doesn't. It just says.
It must be Salem.
This guy's got it close to
Salem,
right?
Zombie trials.
That's romance in Salem for you right there. And again, the pictures, I can't.
We'll put them up. We'll
can't
put them
describe
up.
Enough how creepy this
Anthony,
actually
let's get
comes
these
down.
Pictures up. We'll get them up on our site, 710WR.com/LennandMichael. Well, thanks for that fabulous bit of.
Happy anniversary, Len.
Thank you. I did it the more traditional way.
No zombies.
Happy anniversary, Len. Nope. I didn't know that.
Yeah. 48.
Whoa. That's great.
As they say, life sentence, no parole. All right. Coming up. Thanks, Mike. Coming up, when we get back, we're going to open up the phones. What's on your mind? Lots to discuss. We can clear the phone lines now. We have our winner for the Mets tickets. We want your phone calls. Do you want to talk about Trump going after Cuomo? Do you want to talk about Peter Strzok, the FBI lover boy? Do you want to talk about Omarosa? It's your dime. That sounds so dated. It's your phone call. 800-321-0710. Give us a call. But first, let's check out traffic. Here's Bernie Viter.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on 710 WOR.
7:40 in the AM on 710 on the AM. Joe Bartlett in for Michael Riedel this morning. And we got open phone lines. We're at 800-321-0710. Lots to discuss. Any topic you like. You want to talk about Peter Strzok, the lover boy at the FBI? You want to talk about Trump slamming Cuomo and Gillibrand? You want to talk about Omarosa? Whatever you want to talk about. Got an interesting email. You can email us, including Joe and Michael and myself, at 710WOR.com/LennandMichael. We were talking about Little Falls, and is it a flood zone? And Joyce emailed to say that she thinks as far back as 1959, the Corps of Engineers did a study in Little Falls and Caldwell were in a flood zone. So this is not something new. But once you determine it, what do you do about that? I
mean, well, you have to
determine
mitigate the circumstances, change the flow of water, or require people to have flood insurance.
Well, let's see what Frank has to say in, of all places, Little Falls. You staying dry, Frank?
Yeah, well, I live in Totowa, but that's right next to Little Falls. And, I mean, I grew up in Totowa. I went to school in Little Falls. Little Falls always floods. I think the reason, well, I mean, when heavy rains like that, you know, it always floods, especially that area. But one thing, you know, they didn't say, when them cars were floating, and I took a ride over there and looked at it, those cars that were floating out of the dealership got wedged under that little bridge. So the water was like a cork under that bridge. All that water backed up. And what they didn't tell you was it backed up into the shop right back there where all the employees parked. You know, so All those cars back there got flooded as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was parts that don't normally flooded because of that.
So what do the people do there, Frank? If they always know this is going to happen, do they any precautions or what do they do?
They just keep moving back. I mean, there's some houses like under that one street that they have mentioned about that they show the red cross on Z-Lift Ave. There's some houses back there that they never repaired from Sandy when it flooded back there that were still in ruin. I mean, it's bad. I think, you know, the Army Corps of Engineers, I think they have to dredge the Passaic River, that area. But that was so polluted years ago that I don't think they want to dredge it because it'll stir up all the toxins that are sitting on the bottom of the river. But, I mean, it's bad. That whole area, Willowbrook, Wayne, Little Falls area, Stingack.
All right, Frank. Stay dry. Enjoy Totowa. Thanks, pal. Thanks for listening.
At least the governor is doing something about it. All right, let's go to the Peter Strzok investigation. We're going to talk to Joe from Norwalk, Connecticut. He wants to talk about Strzok. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, Joe Bartlett, I don't know how you do it, my friend, but I'll give you kudos
for what?
Insane.
Putting up with Len?
What?
Oh, my
God. Joe!
Oh, my God. You're killing me, Len. You're
why?
Me. All right. If you, Len Berman, is being investigated for whatever, and you were finding out that the lead investigators against Len Berman were texting on how much they hate Len Berman.
I'd call it a witch hunt. I'd say shut it down, lock them up.
Right.
That's what I'd say.
But if it's Trump, oh, my God, Trump didn't deserve to get by. Oh, my, this is a travesty. Come on, Leonard.
Leonard. That's
come
what my
on, Leonard.
That's what my parents would call me when I was in trouble. I hear you, Joe.
Yeah, you are in trouble. Half your listeners are about to rail their cars into the sidewalk.
I hope not. I don't want to be accused of fostering car accidents here in the Tri-Center.
Leonard.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Joseph. All right, let's see what Mike has to say in Cold Spring Harbor, beautiful little town that I pass through quite often. Hey, Mike.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
How you doing?
Good. So, Len, here's my question. You believe that Trump obstructed justice when he told Comey to go easy on Flynn. Is that correct?
I don't know if I believe that's obstruction of justice. I thought,
many in the media do believe that, right?
Well, I don't necessarily believe that. I do think there was some obstruction when he fired him and admitted it was because of Russia. I think that constitutes some obstruction in an investigation. Yeah, I do.
My question is if Comey is the investigative arm of the FBI, how is it that he can obstruct when he's just supposed to turn over evidence to the DOJ, who then is the prosecutor? I mean, that's what happened with Hillary Clinton. Comey was just supposed to do the investigation, right, Not make the decision about who to prosecute. Am I correct? I mean, I'm not an attorney.
No, he doesn't. He makes recommendations. He does not do the prosecution.
Correct.
You are absolutely correct.
So how can he possibly obstruct by telling Comey, you know, go easy on Flynn? I don't see the correlation between the two. Comey doesn't make that decision. So what obstruction can possibly...
Well, because if you're firing a guy who's doing the investigation, that can be construed as you know, screwing around with the investigation. That's why it's considered obstruction. I don't know. That's my belief. Mr. Lawyer here.
All righty. Let's go to Mike in Bayonne. You're next on the Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the Morning Show here. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hi, guys. Good morning. I heard something last night that kind of set me off, that Strzok has a GoFundMe page for his legal fees. I don't want to even give it publicity. That arrogant son of a gun.
No, here, wait a minute. Just back up one second. No, you're absolutely right, Mike. But McCabe, who was also fired, did that for his legal fees, and I think he came up with $300,000, I heard. So I guess the legal fees are kind of stifling. That's why there's a GoFundMe.
Well, he's not going to get his pension.
Right. He may lose his pension at the FBI. But go ahead. Continue your point, Mike.
The American people should start a grassroots thing with people like that. We should tell them to go fund themselves.
Go fund yourself. I like that.
By the way, in terms of the Strzok thing, Alex Castellanos brought it up here. I mean, this is pretty serious stuff. When Comey did his report on Hillary Clinton's email, he used the word negligence. Negligence.
He changed Strzok it.
Yeah. Changed it so that, because if there's negligence, it requires prosecution.
Right.
Changed it to carelessness. Right?
That's what he claims.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Isn't that a fireable? Come on. I mean, he's covering up for Hillary Clinton and at the same time covering up, protecting her from prosecution, at the same time saying they're going to stop the election of President Trump.
If this is, well, but again,
that's not fireable enough.
But let's say what he decided was the accurate call. I don't know. I wasn't in the investigation. But let's say he arrived at the right call for the wrong reasons. That isn't necessarily fireable. By the way, let me read you a couple of tweets from the president. You'll get a kick out of him. He tweeted a few minutes ago, when you give a crazed, crying lowlife a break and give her a job at the White House, I guess it just didn't work out. Good work by General Kelly for quickly firing that dog.
Whoa.
And who was it who said, I surround myself with the best people? I'm trying to remember who said that. Anyway, and then he... 5 minutes ago, another terrorist attack in London. These animals are crazy and must be dealt with through toughness and strength. So he's into dogs and animals this morning. Which
is a little premature on this London thing here for him to be commenting, but
kind of does that sometimes.
He does jump the gun a lot.
To terrorism.
Yes, exactly. Go back into the tanning bed.
Let's take a deep breath now, because when we return, did I mention that John Calamia won the Mets tickets from Brooklyn? I didn't, right? All right, John Calamia from Brooklyn, you won my personal Mets seats, and coming up at 8:30, we have more seats with the Turning Point. But coming up next, some fascinating entertainment news, Johnny Carson's house for sale. Ooh. I found this very interesting. I love the picture. Let's check out traffic. Here's Bernie Viner.
O-R.
Coming up on 7:54, were you a Johnny Carson fan, Joe Bartlett?
Yeah, I like Johnny Carson.
Yeah, I don't know of anyone who didn't. I just thought he was the epitome of a talk show host.
Well,
I just
class, you know.
Yeah, I thought he really was just tremendous and funny and a little bawdy, and you never knew when he was quite going to explode. Everyone realized he was kind of an odd guy personally, but there was a terrific book that was written, and you know, it depended if he had been drinking or not, if you got the good Johnny or the bad Johnny.
Yeah.
So really, I mean, that's the way he was. Yeah. And I wonder how he would fare in today's climate. For example, Jimmy Fallon, who followed the tradition of Jay Leno and Johnny Carson, tried to stay apolitical and finds himself getting swamped in the ratings by Stephen Colbert, who's very political and very anti-Trump. Can you imagine if Colbert's competition were Johnny Carson, how Johnny would adapt to this political climate? I don't know.
Well, it begs the question, can you be neutral and successful?
I don't know.
Well, or do you have to choose a side right now?
Well, you're certainly doing the cable network wars because you have your followers based on what side you take. And I guess it applies to talk shows as well. But it's really interesting. Carson, you never knew what his politics were.
No.
He'd have both sides on, you know. And,
well, I don't think we were as partisan back then.
Yeah, probably
then.
Not.
Yeah, now
anyway,
it's hypersensitive.
Fascinated by this story. He, you know, it was always known he lived in Malibu. Well, apparently in 1984, he bought his estate for $9.5 million. It's 4 acres right on the ocean, and there's a shot of the view from his pool, which is the Pacific Ocean.
Wow. I mean,
it's just spectacular. In Malibu.
So that's $9 million. That's a lot of money back then.
$9.5 million in 1984. His widow sold it in 2007. Okay, we'll see. The people who bought his home also bought two adjacent parcels. So I don't know exactly what his 9.5 became, because this group bought that and two parcels for $46 million. But I don't know how much of that was.
Yeah.
So let's say Carson's was at least half of that.
Half of that, so 20. So right?
9.5 went to at least double? 20, 25, whatever. Anyway, so the people who own it now are the Jones Apparel Group founder, and he's a film producer named Sidney Kimmel, and his wife Caroline. Their net worth, according to Forbes, is $1.3
billion. Oh, my gosh.
But when they put it on the market 2 years ago, they put it on for $81.5 million.
Wow.
Well, now it's on sale. They chopped the price by 20%. You can get a $16 million discount, and you can buy it for $65.2 million, according to the LA Times.
That is unbelievable. Jeez.
Let's all chip in.
It's unbelievable. It includes a living room, sunken fireplace, media room, an updated chef's kitchen, indoor arboretum under a 30-foot-high glass ceiling.
That's it?
Let's see. Elsewhere, the manicured grounds sport an 843-square-foot guest house, an oceanside pool, access to the beach. But it really does. I mean, look, you saw the picture,
right? Yeah, it's spectacular.
Just looks something. Anyway, Johnny Carson's old house can be yours for just a piddling $65.2 million big ones.
I'm sure some Russian oligarch will buy it.
Maybe, yeah. Putin himself, maybe.
Hey, speaking of celebrities, Liev Schreiber is going to be in court today on Long Island.
It's not Westchester? I thought it was in Nyack. No?
I thought it was.
All right, I'm not sure.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it is Nyack. It is okay. Nyack. Okay, yeah. A photographer had been following him around Nyack during filming of Ray Donovan.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, I love Ray Donovan. It's coming back. The promos have already started. It's going to be a while, October, but it'll be here before you know it. Anyway, he is charged with second-degree harassment.
Hmm.
Now, the photographer told the paper that Schreiber had pushed the photographer's camera away after a flash went off in his face.
I can see where that would be annoying.
Yeah, really? Look, he's got to be used to this, right? He's got to be used to this.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not used to the flashes. I don't know. So, yeah. Anyway, he's going to court today. His attorney confirmed that the incident took place, but maintained that the allegation doesn't rise to the level of any law being broken.
Yeah.
It was just simply a matter of pushing a photographer
that
was a little too aggressive.
Right.
Come on, you don't need to be going to court over that.
All right.
Maybe he just thought he was Ray Donovan. We're just going to deal with it like Ray Donovan would.
As you know, Aretha Franklin in poor health, and now they say she's undergoing hospice care. So it sounds like the end is near for the 76-year-old queen of soul, Aretha Franklin. Boy.
That's too bad.
It is. Her song is just
legendary. Well, I mean, look at it. I mean, she's going to live on in her music forever.
She's great. Great one. Hey, you see this one? A long-lost Marilyn Monroe nude scene has been discovered.
Yes.
It's from the 1961 film The Misfits. It was cut from the film because director John Huston said it was not necessary to the story, even though stars in the movie like Clark Gable fought to have the scene. Apparently, she was wearing a sheet, and on her own, she just decided to drop it. It was her call. It was not in the script.
Oh, yeah. No, I was looking for that online.
It doesn't exist.
I know it doesn't exist.
Video doesn't exist. But if it had stayed in the film, this 1961, it would have been the first nude scene by an American actress in a major motion
picture. Doesn't somebody have it?
Yeah, somebody
has it.
It's long lost in the closet. Somebody has it. They haven't decided what they're going to do with it. Oh. Yeah, I'd sell it to the highest bidder.
It's definitely going to be sold.
But they say it won't end up on YouTube anytime soon. So stop searching for this, Joe.
Gosh,
the long lost Marilyn Monroe nude scene. Oh boy, coming up next, all the Omarosa news you could ever want. Everyone has something to say about it. We have all the sound bites and more. It's coming up after the news with Mike Bauer right now on 710. It is 8 o'clock.